Okay, we're in Siman Reish Ayin Tes Sif Hey, Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Tes Zayin. We're speaking about a light that was kindled on Shabbos for a sick person or a woman who had to give birth, and they have recovered on Shabbos. So you can carry the candle, the lamp, after it was extinguished, because it really wasn't wasn't muksa really for the whole Shabbos, because only for a particular situation. So tezai lekat letaltlo in kabo, you can carry it once it's been extinguished. Hainu dafka letzarch gufo makoma, only for a permitted use or for its space that it takes up. De lo adifa, it isn't better mishar kalim shemalach delisser, can't be better than any other utensil that is generally used for prohibited uses. Yudzayim v'hu hadin, and this is the same law if a person lit on Shabbos unintentionally went out. Hakol mitam haniskol, everything's based on the reason we said before that it wasn't really muktzah with the onset of Shabbos. They muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos she'asar es she'achar shekova. There's no such thing as muktzah for half a Shabbos after it goes out. Yuches b'shogeg, why did we pick shogeg? What about if you did it where intentionally? Naka b'shogeg, why did Shulchan Aruch pick the case of unintentional? The liar b'shir, because we're not speaking about wicked people who would light on Shabbos intentionally. And the Shulchan Aruch chose that which would be the normal, typical case where it would happen. U'b'emes, but the truth is, afilu hidlika b'mezid, even if you lit it on Shabbos intentionally, gam kemut l'tant l'achar shekava l'tzarech gufa l'makoma, you could carry it after it was extinguished for a permitted use or for its place. Since it was not muktzah when the advent of Shabbos occurred. No piskei tshuva. So we move to Sif Vav. Ner shelo hidlik bo ba'osa Shabbos. A lamp that was not lit on this particular Shabbos. It was lit on other Shabbos, but it was not lit on this Shabbos. Afilu hu shalcheres, even if it is made out of earthenware, demois, that looks repulsive after it's been lit for a few times. Afilu hu shel neft, even if it's made from, what do you call it, fuel. What's
naphtha.
Naphtha.
That smell.
Demasriach, that really, it smells. Mutter letaltalo, you may carry it. You're allowed to carry it. The muktzah machmas mius mutter. That a muktzah out of repulsiveness, something's muktzah because it's repulsive, is permitted. Your test, mutter letaltalo, may carry it. Ve'af dehu klisha malachlis, even though it is a utensil that's for prohibited use. We call makom still and all. It's okay. Let's argue for makoma mutter for permitted use, and to use the space that you want. It's allowed, as we wrote in Siman Shin Ches Sif Gimel. Chaf mutar muktzah machmas mius mutter hoil ve'ika teres kli aleha, since it has the status of a utensil upon it. It's useful to cover up a utensil, so therefore it's not like stones that have no use at all. It has some kind of a use. Piskei tshuva. He brings down a bare halacha. If you never lit this candelabra at all, but you just designated it for lighting, then it's like a kalisha malachta laheter, because just preparing it hasn't done anything yet to it. Interesting. Again, all this was only said in their days, where the utensil that you lit Neros was could be used for many things and was used for many things. But the kinds of things we have nowadays, all types of menorahs, since we don't use it for anything else except for lighting candles, then even brand new ones that you never lit them at all and they look beautiful and all that, they are muktzah. And the only machlokas is, are they considered like a klisha malachto le'isser, or is it considered muktzah machmas chesaron kis, because they're very expensive, and therefore or machmas gufo, which you couldn't move it at all, versus a klish machta le'iser, has certain uses, and therefore it's fitting one should be strict. Okay? There are sides to say that even nowadays, that with the ones who make these menorahs, it's clear not... one second. Or let's say they make it not for use, just as an ornament. Let's say you have a beautiful menorah, you never use it. It's an art work. Then it's not going to be considered muktzah. But then again, well, if they're very expensive, you don't want to move it, then it's maybe muktzah machlus tzaren kis. So it would be a shaila in there. Better not to be lenient, he says. So I guess it depends how expensive it is. Okay, Sif Zayin, to end this simen, menorah, a menorah, ben gedola ben katana, whether it's large or small, im hi shel prakim, if it's made out of pieces, it's a put together, take apart type of menorah, ein metaltel also, you're not allowed to carry it, techashin and shema, people afraid it may fall, with the spark and will come apart, v'yachseren, and then you're going to put it back together again, like Humpty Dumpty, v'nimtza osakli, it comes out, you're making utensil, even if it's not made any out of pieces, it's got what do you call it, indentations around it. The domen, it looks similar l'shel prakim. It looks like it's made out of pieces. Also, aslo tatla, you should not carry it. Sifkat and chafalf menorah, afili hi chadosha, even if it's brand new, shlo hidlika baron, it's never was lit, same problem. Chafbeiz, vinimtza osa kli, it looks like you're making a kli. Look later on in simintov kof yuhetes sifbeiz. Okay, vimdarka lios roughly, but if it usually is loose, it's always loose, and it's never tightened. Shari, it's permitted as we wrote in Simon, as we will write in Simon Shin Yud Gimel. And look over there, what we wrote in the Mishnah Berurah regarding cups. Okay, fine. Chav Gimel, Vidoime, if made with grooves, it looks like that. Mishum de Michlef, Bishol Prakim, a person could make a mistake and think if I can carry this, I can carry one made out of parts, and then out of parts, you may put it back together. But I should know the Lafia Mispur, based on what's explained in the Sif, also Talton Erson, we may not carry our things, Shakarin Leichter. Absolutely, even though he never lit it, they are made out of pieces. I guess that's in the Mishnah Berurah's days. That which writes in Sif of my neighbor, Shaloyosim Prokim, he's speaking about those that were not made out of pieces. Okay. One second. He says the Pisgei Tshuva says nowadays, in general, the leichters are made very strong and they don't come apart when they fall. So it's also for all the other reasons that we heretofore mentioned. Okay, we now move on to Simon Reish Pei. One small sif. Small sif. But how do you like this? A fair amount of Pisgei Tshuva. Tashmish Amita, intimacy, is mitanuge Shabbosu, is one of the pleasures of Shabbos. Lefikach onas talmidei chachamim, therefore the required amount of intimacy that a Talmud Chacham Habrim that are healthy has is Milel Shabbos, Lel Shabbos, from every Friday night to every Friday night, once a week with one's wife, obviously, provided that she is in a permitted state. Mishnah Berurah Aleph, Tashmish Hamita, Mitanuge Shabbos, Ulefikach, therefore, I'm sorry, I just said that again. Let's go to Mishnah Berurah Aleph. Oinas, so he has to be very careful to fulfill his intimate obligation. Next, mitzvah lechol shum be'erev Shabbos o b'leil Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to eat garlic on erev Shabbos or Friday night. And that, for that matter, anything else that will increase one's seed so that one can more likely have children. Look in Simon Tafresh Ches. Because of the Sefer Hasidim, Simon Shin Sadi writes in the Sefer Hasidim, Teshumim Mevatlin Taiva. He says, raw garlic nullifies one's desires. Rakshumim Tsluim Margim Zera. Only roasted garlic increases one's seed. O Kasav Koldvarim Meluchim Matim. He says also all salty foods limit one's seed. Vechein kidneys and beans. Certain types of beans. Vadoshim Mevusham with cooked lentils. Kishem Luchim, when they're not salty, Marbim, they increase one's seed. Beis Habrim, healthy Talmid HaChachamim. Lafuke, we're excluding Chalushei Koch, those that are weak. Einam Chayavim Rak Lefi Kochem, they're not obliged in their marital requirements, if only according to their level of strength. Sivkot and Gimel, Meleil Shabbos, from Friday night to Friday night. Hainu Levad Leil Tefillah, that's excluding and in addition to the Mikvah night. V'tzarech Lehizor, Shekoidim, Sheyani, Sheyagia Halayla, Chayv Laharos, Chiba Yisera, V'ava Imishto. The person has to be very careful that before you reach the nighttime, the person should show extra love and wanting towards his wife. Fein Tzarech Lomar goes without saying, Shlo Yargil Shum K'tot Erev Shabbos, goes without saying, one should not have any strife at all on Erev Shabbos, which is a day that often has that kind of problems. All right, Piskei Tshuva. One second here. Oh, interesting. Piskei Tshuva, before he comments on the Shulchan Aruch, brings down a tour that we don't have. And the tour says you read Kriya Shema on Friday night like any other night. Brings that down, and the Bach commentary on the tour says what the tour means, that even though in davening we don't say certain things that are more mundane requests, like Ushmor Tse Seinu Vuenu, that you should guard our comings and goings, because on Shabbos you don't need any Shmira. So Friday night davening, we change a little bit. You don't need to be extra protection, because the Shabbos itself protects you. So then what do you got to say Kriya Shema for? Because that's all for protection at night. He says that Shmira is only from other nations, but from non-Jews who may hurt us. But Kriya Shema Lamita, that protects you from Mazikim. So you got to say that even on Shabbos and the opposite, and even more so on Friday nights, they're more Mazikin out, as the Torah writes. So therefore you still say Kriya Shema. Therefore, other psukim that you say is part of the Shema, that's for Shmira, the whole nusach of Kriya Shema Mita, you say it regularly, and those who have accustomed to kiss the mezuzah and say Hashem Yishmor Tseisi Uvoi, etc., they say it the way they're on a weekday without any changes, except you don't say the Vidui and other, and also the Rebbein Shalom Hareini Moichel. You shouldn't say that on Shabbos and Yontif. That paragraph of Hareini Moichel, I forgive everybody, should skip that. And any other day you don't say Tachanun, you shouldn't say that at Kriya Shema Lamita. Wow. All right. Because it's a type of a vidui. It's a confessional when you say that he wrote some prayer. So better to not, the Rabbeinu Shalolam, you should take that out Friday night. So that's important. Okay, now we get to the Piskei Tshuva that's on the Shulchan Aruch, saying that intimacy is one of the Oineg Shabbos. It's based on a Gemara in Ksuvas, and Rashi there, he says that that's a tainug of and a pleasure for the body. And he says, and the Piskei Tshuva, and included in that is the sleeping of Friday night. It's one of the pleasures of Shabbos that you should not nullify. There are those who say, wow, possible, one should have special sheets and blankets just for Shabbos. That'd be a lot of work. There are those who add that even special pajamas you should have for Shabbos. Wow. The Hasidim and Anshei Maisa, who love learning Torah, or Fabrengen with friends and singing smiros, they're allowed to have less sleep because there are two Tanoim that are in the... Okay. One second. So there are two Tanoim that brings down the Yerushalmi. They said, how did they have a delight in Shabbos? One says with sleep, and one says with learning. And the Gemara says, it's not a machlokas. This is a Talmud Chacham, and one's a Balabais. In other words, different strokes for different folks. If you're a Talmud Chacham, you really love learning. Okay? He said about Avadya Yosef, even on Friday night, everyone went to sleep, and he would just stay up. And he learned. Okay? But even so, if you learn a lot and all that, still you have to leave some time to have some sleep on Shabbos for an oneg. You shouldn't be up the whole night. And you should try to increase a little bit on the sleep before Shabbos, so you won't be suffering on Shabbos because of a lack of sleep. There it is. Take a nap on Erev Shabbos, if at all possible. Okay. Now he says that Ona for a Talmud Chacham who's healthy is every Friday night. The Zohar says if you conceive on Friday night, you bring down a soul from the world of Atzilus that goes into that child. But for that matter, you still don't skip the mikvah night. You always do that. And if you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Puravu, having a son and a daughter, you have to try whatever ona you have to fulfill that mitzvah, obviously with your wife's consent. The great Gedolim would not refrain from going to the mikvah on Shabbos morning, and therefore, all right, can skip all that. If for whatever reason you can't fulfill your own on Friday night, you should make it up on Saturday night, because still these sparks of Shabbos are still there. Now, what if there is some light in the room? So if it's a makom mitzvah, one who is lenient to instruct a non-Jew to extinguish the light with a hint, you have on whom to rely on, especially with fluorescent lights or things like that where there's no real flame, because it's only a Durabonin prohibition anyway, so that would be okay. So that's fine. It's a makom mitzvah. Okay, we're going to skip the garlic business. I don't think that's so important. Now, here's an interesting one. He's saying about people, if you're not so strong. But what if a person can take some medication before or after intimacy to give the person more strength and he'd be able to fulfill his ona? So if it's also the mikvah night, you could take those medications, because remember, the only problem with a medication is a drabbanan, maybe you will grind the stuff. So it's only drabbanan. But b'makom mitzvah, the rabbis didn't say that decree. All right? Just like with a sick person whose life is not in danger. And therefore, one who is lenient, even if it's not the mikvah night, but to fulfill the mitzvah of ona, you have on whom to rely on. Although you could have arranged your ona not on a Shabbos, but if you want to fulfill your mitzvah of ona, you could take the medicine with a little bit of a change. Take a little bit different way. However that would be. So this would, how would this be nogea I could only think of, you know, if a person was had to take Viagra. Person, if taking the Viagra, those types of medications, enable the person to be able to be physically able to be intimate with one's wife, that's part of the mitzvah. And you probably have to take, I don't know, it's all different kinds of medications, but some of them you have to take very soon, but very close to the intimacy. So it would seem that that would be permitted for the mitzvah of onah. Even though you normally don't take medications, you'd be able to do that. Or anything else in that realm that would be necessary. How about the reverse? What if a woman who is permitted halachically to take some type of contraceptive to not get pregnant, she'd be allowed to use it on Shabbos because it's not really a medication for a sickness, but rather to hold back to not have kids. So if she'd have to, whatever type of contraceptive could be applied or used on Shabbos. What if a man or woman has to take certain medications in order to make their body to be able to get pregnant? So try to take the medications in a way you don't have to take it on Shabbos. But if it needs mamish to be at a certain time and Shabbos is there, you may take those medications because otherwise you won't be able to, it won't work, you won't be able to have kids. So that is all in the permitted realm. Interesting. So one can take those things. All right, Sif Beis, back into the Shulchan Aruch. Mutar livo lechachila besul b'Shabbos. You may initially have intimacy with a virgin on Shabbos, married obviously to you. Ve'ein bo mishum chovel. There's no issue of making a wound. Ve'lo mishum hatzar law or any pain she may have from the first intimacy that is there. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Mishum Sifkat and Dal, Mishum Chovel, Didam Mifkat Pakit. In other words, it is a possibility she may bleed from the first intimacy, and we say that the blood is already separated, as it were. Then a Shadam Besulim Eina Muvla Bekosli Beserechim. The blood of the virgin is not absorbed within the walls of the inner lining of the womb. Ela Konus Husham Bemufkat. But rather it's all collected as if it's in a little storage area. And all you did is that you're just opening up that the blood comes out. There are those who say, however, if you're in a place where the locale is that to be machmer, not to be intimate with a virgin, you would keep their chumras. But the Taz says, no, Chalila, God forbid, Lasos Isra, they say it's Usr. Ubever Shamati, and I clearly heard, says the best of Mishnah Berurah, Shechasidim Gaoni Ha'olim Nagu, Be'atzmam Heterbisa. There were great, great rabbis who themselves, personally, in their personal life, were lenient in this area and were intimate with the Besula for B'yas Mitzvah on Shabbos. There's no reason to be strict with this at all. Those are strict are only from those who we wonder on their actions. Look later on in Simin Shin Lametes Sifkat Yud Aleph in the Magen Avraham Delachachil initially Roy LeYachdon Achra Chupa Yichud Gomer, that you should have a real Yichud after the Chupa Kodem Shabbos for Shabbos. But some say that our chuppah, lo mikri chuppah, is not called chuppah. That's why you have to have a yichud afterwards. Because then, if you have yichud afterwards on Shabbos, it's like you are making an acquisition of your wife. So therefore, better to have, if it's only if you get married Friday afternoon. So you have the yichud before Shabbos, that's better. I'm not going to bother with the biscuit jewels over here. Not necessary. Simon Reish Pei Aleph. Moving along. Next Simon. Also a one sefer. A one sefer. Aleph. Ein Lishchos one should not bow down. This is speaking when you're saying the prayer of Nishmas Kol Chai. Shabbos morning, Nishmas Kol Chai has a certain words that we should not erroneously bow down when we say these words. Ein Lishchos, don't bow down on the words Le'ulechol Levadcho Anach Nemodim, and to you alone we bow down. Okay, like we do by Modim, let's say, in the Shmon Esrei. She'ein lishchos elba mekom sha'amru chachamim. We should bow down only in the places where the rabbi said we should bow down. No mishnah berurah on that. Says the Rama, the Noagim, and the custom is she'bishabes ma'achrim yosher lovel beis hakneses mebechol. Then on Shabbos we sleep a little more and we delay more. You come to shul later than on the weekday. Why? Mishum de betamid shel yomos achol, because by the korban tamid of the weekdays, nemar, it says baboker in the morning. Veitzel Shabbos nemar, but by Shabbos it doesn't say baboker, but rather it says uvayom haShabbos, on the Shabbos. Demashma ichor, that's a little bit later. Okay, but within reason, guys. If Shachris is 6:30, you don't have to come to Shachris on Shabbos at 9:45, or 3.5 hours after you do it in the morning. I mean, within reason. When we were in Yeshiva, Shachris was 7:30 every day. So on Shabbos, 7:45. You get 15 more minutes. I mean, of course, you get 15 more minutes. So that's interesting. So we delay it, but how much? Okay, let's... Is there any Mishnah Berurah on that part? Aleph. Ma'achrim. Delay. Umi komokam tzichon lizor shal lavers man kriyashma. You shouldn't pass this man kriyashma. Okay. Ubarashi mashra digam b'shabbos mitzvah lamar likra kriyashma. Even on Shabbos, from Rashi it's mashra, that you should quickly... it's a mitzvah to quickly say the kriyashma. Okay.
Not quickly, it means early.
Early. Okay, is there any more? Kivasikin!
Yeah.
Like Vasikin! Shetam Vasikin and Shabbos, guys. Okay. The Ramah continues. Vinogim laharvis bismir shal Shabbos. Komok vim hago. The custom is to have extra singing on Shabbos, every place according to its custom. Ubechol davar imlo amaro, but in any of these situations where you don't say them in machzim, so you don't make them go back. Now, what were we talking about? Mishnah Berurah beis ubechol davar hainu kol davar shemosim mishal Shabbos. Any extra prayers for Shabbos, and you don't say that. Vafilu nishmas. Let's say for every reason you forgot nishmas, you don't have to say it over, even though it was a very much established type of a prayer. Okay, we'll have to stop right there.